Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Without fear, without fear, without fear. Dave Corbett, Ernest Hancock, finishing up their conversation about the predictions for 2024. No fear.
Ah, happiness. Where is she to be found? Doesn't it almost seem these days as if the more we have, the less happy we are? We're richer, smarter, have more leisure time and more elaborate entertainments than in any period in history on any place on Earth. And though not yet universal, such advantages are more widely distributed than ever before. We're all doing better and feeling worse, it seems. Consider how when you last went unclothed, unhoused, or without a meal. How easily you secured medical, dental, or psychological services when you last needed them. Put your hand in your pocket, and chances are you find a device capable of communicating anywhere around the world, providing innumerable entertainments and distractions at a moment's notice, or securing vast quantities, blah, blah, blah. Okay, we get the point. Everyone should be happy, but they're not. We're promised the right to pursue happiness, and yet we might well wonder what sort of perceived perverted trick is this, that the opportunity for bliss is dangled before our eyes, then somehow snatched away by our circumstances. What a betrayal. Somebody needs to answer for that, surely. But before we declare that the universe is against us and start grinding our teeth at men or at God, perhaps we should take a more thoughtful look at our expectations. In our current age, happiness is frequently thought of merely as an emotion, a feeling of pleasure resulting from the pleasant alignment of circumstances, and rather than pursuing happiness, we are waiting upon it to be delivered like an Amazon package to our front door. This is common enough, and we have an excuse for it. Hap is an old word meaning chance or circumstance. To have something happen to you is to be the passive experiencer of some external stimulus. And how can a passive experiencer be in any way responsible for the quality of the incoming stimuli? He or she has no control over that. Thus, a person whom fortune favors turns out to be happy, we suppose. The circumstances produce the feeling. But if happiness awaits the arrival of pleasing circumstances, the sad truth is that most of us are doomed mostly to misery, for there are very few sets of circumstances so utterly felicitous that we find ourselves swept up in unimpeded joy, even for a few minutes. Life, even at its best, is often arduous and unpleasant, punctuated only occasionally by moments of delight. How then can any of us truly be happy, be truly happy? Anyway, it goes on from there, but there you go. Yes, I'm not making this up. Chance, circumstance, is an important part of the concept of happiness itself, and why that is such an important part of the formulation, the pursuit of happiness. He's not talking about video games and beer and mindless distraction. He's talking about pursuing fate and fortune, whatever that may bring. And as you say, it's about the liberty, the freedom to be able to do that, which, again, most people just do not understand the meaning of that phrase anymore.
Yeah, it's not what you get or obtain. It's not the destination, it's the journey. You know, there's, and if you're brought up with the right optimism, or you have the capability or the training or the rearing of good parents and a good community and an environment of liberty. You're at liberty to pursue your happiness, kind of thing. Yeah. I can see all this stuff is so fundamental and being rediscovered, and that was the problem. It's been hidden from us. It's like, you ever interview or talk to Mark Passio, or you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've been on a conversation with him. I haven't interviewed him specifically, but yeah, I know Mark.
Yeah, Mark, he was, a Satanist at one time when he was a kid. He didn't know any different. He's like, what the heck is this? These guys are... And he really started to study the occult, and he goes on into whatever, But the point that he was making that kind of clicked with me is the occult is really what's hidden. The secret they don't want you to know, the kind of things they want you to do to obscure the truth, kind of crap. And I'm just going, it's like happiness or the pursuit of or the freedom to have a pursuit, is taken from, they don't want you to understand the fundamental parts of humanity and life in general that produce happiness or pleasure or satisfaction, I think is probably the word. Because if you're satisfied, it doesn't matter if your belly's full or not. I mean, it's like, I don't know, are you satisfied? Maybe I'm on a diet. I feel better. I want to be more mongoosey, man. I'm more nimble. It's a subjective thing. It's the freedom to have that option. And I just see that secret, that path to satisfaction and freedom and options and happiness, for lack of a better word, is hidden from us. It's obscured. It's masked. It's camouflaged. It's deliberately held at a reach. And they're going, you want this, don't you? Well, all you got to do is watch this, write film, porn, play game, whatever the hell it is that they want you to do to benefit them and not you. It's a marketing campaign. It's propaganda.
Yeah.
So, it's been taken from us, the truth. It's hidden. What is that truth, James? What's the truth? What do you think that we should be, striving for that would make us more satisfied or something?
Isn't this the question that we've been facing for 2,000 years now, right? Literally, do you know the earliest fragment of the earliest manuscript we have of the New Testament, the Gospels, the Bible, is a little, tiny little fragment of John. I can't remember the verse, but at any rate, it's where Pontius Pilate is asking, what is truth? And that is the earliest extant little fragment of the Gospel that we have. I think it dates to like 125 AD or something. But anyway, what is truth? Hey, pretty good question. And
back up. That's the earliest what?
The earliest fragment of a manuscript from the New Testament that we have.
Really? And it's about truth?
What is truth?
Boom!
Asked Pontius Pilate.
Well, that's a mic dropper right there. That's earliest.
Little factoid to keep in mind.
Very cool. Yeah, we hit on the truth, man, right on. So how is this manifested for prediction? That's kind of where, I was originally thinking of going.
So now I'm realizing that my editorial is going to have to be 2024, the year of happiness, because that'll trigger a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I can educate them about the actual meaning of that word and what it really means. But yes, some horrible, dark, terrible things will happen, and some wonderful, amazing, light things will happen. And it is... Has it always been so? I would venture to say. And the stakes are raised, but it's the same story, right? We're seeing the same story repeated.
Same old story. This is one thing, good old Aerosmith. It's same old story. This is, and I think one, certainly evil, the bad, the manure, for the coming spring kind of thing, something that they're correlated in some way. It produces that. So what we're going through now, we've been in a malaise. We haven't really, it's been obscured from us. It's been occultified or whatever the word is. It's been hidden from us what is our real goal, what should be our pursuit of happiness. What is your pursuit of happiness? The pursuit. That, you know, I don't know. What you think? If I knew what it was, I'd go get it, you know? But it's the pursuit. So this denial of the pursuit, the denial of options, the obscuring of the truth, the changing of the focus of the whatever for someone else other than your own self-interest or even that of your community, it is what that denial is what's going to bring about the demand for the options, the freedom. It's the phoenix is reborn. This is mythological. It's biblical.
And you know what? It's now that history. I'm thinking about it, even that change in language that has happened over the last few centuries, so that we see that word happiness in a completely different way than people hundreds of years ago were talking about it. Even that, I mean, has been weaponized in a way so sadistic and horrible. It's actually amazing when you think about it. But yeah, the pursuit of happiness is what has been used to lead us towards the slaughter pen, right? It's all of the, think of all the distractions and nonsense and games and bread and circuses that are used to lead people along into the convenient life that will ultimately lead to the complete controlled matrix, right? That's the pursuit of happiness as people are playing it out today, not the pursuit of happiness that, you know, well, Jefferson and others were referring to hundreds of years ago.
Are you U of A professors? Come on. U of A professors. I mean, a professor is going to tell me what pursuit of happiness is a government job or something.
Yeah.
You know, I was like,
Well, if he means the pursuit of happiness in the sense of your freedom to pursue your fortune,
he was saying it was government's job to provide that happiness. We're going to make you happy. We got to pass a law, you know? And I was, wow.
And you know, there are more and more governments that are like appointing happiness ministers and that kind of thing, right? In governments, they're making it like cabinet positions.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
I think we're on to something, you know, and it got me thinking about it when you did that. And it was kind of, you know, they're talking, they're kind of meandering all over. And then I started to realize two things. One, James didn't tell me what his definition was. The other thing is that, it's much more difficult to define than you think, because that's not really the definition that we don't even know. You know, that's not even the point. So for me, I'm going, it's the pursuit. It's the options. Yeah. It's the freedom. Yeah.
And that's exactly why I phrased it that way. I asked people about the pursuit of happiness and why is that important? Because I didn't just want to say what makes you happy. Who cares about that?
Circumstances make you happy. You get happened on.
Yeah.
It's
happening. Exactly. Right. Yeah. But no, what is the pursuit of happiness? Why is that important? How can people do that?
You know, it makes more sense with some other language uses too. When you have like in the 60s, it's a happening, man. You know, it's happening. Yep. You know, what's happening? You know, what's happening? Yep. What's up? I mean, see, I'm going, it make these words, these phrases make more sense now. You know, it's an event. Exactly. It's a thing. You know?
It's almost like language is the key to how our understanding of the world, and it is deliberately, in many cases, twisted and changed over centuries.
You know, well, and this is coming from what? You know, a literature guy, you know? Here's Mr. Shakespeare over here, you know, explaining it to us.
No, Mr. Borges, remember that?
No, what are you talking about?
Do I have to make him read Miguel's, what is it, author of the Quixote?
Okay. Stop.
What's his name? Pierre Menard, author of the Quixote.
You know, don't even want to go down that road. You know, James had me read something, like, I'm going, was this like a punishment thing, or is there something in here? What am I supposed to get?
Hey, you got me back with swordfish. Where are you?
Right, you know. So it's but I understood. Yeah, you know. Thank you. But I think the pursuit of meaning is very important, and after this conversation, I think even more important to me than it has ever been, because it's the meaning of the words, the meaning. That's one thing that I found in my study of Spanish when I was in high school, and you learn Spanish, you pick a language and that kind of thing. It served me well. You know, I'm glad that I did it. But it's a Latin-based language, you know, and English is not. So, you know, it's, you know, so there's a lot of commonalities with a lot of, you know, other languages. They share a lot of the same words or syntax and so on. But English is freaking, what the heck is that, you know?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, Shakespeare really took advantage of, you know, the ability to kind of, I don't know, English is kind of made up. They just keep adding stuff, you know? But there are some rules and definitions and things behind, but it English, I think, unless there's some, maybe French, I don't know, but I am very impressed with the ability to express so many nuanced feelings, emotions, circumstances, describing things using the English language. Because some languages, like Japanese, they just don't have words for certain things. You know, it's not, because...
And they have words for other things that we don't have words for in English.
Do you have an example?
Okay, here's a really stupid, trivial example, but I always say, like, when someone asks me, well, what's your favorite Japanese word? I always say, wasure mono, because that is, it literally means, like, forgotten thing, but it's like a word for a thing that you forgot, wasure mono. And I don't know why, but I just picked up on that when I was learning the language. Like, that's a word that we don't have a word for that in English. There's just nothing that exists. And it's so easy to say, oh, I have a forgotten thing that I need to go get or whatever. Wasuremono. And so it's just one of those. It's a very trivial example, but it's one of those things where you don't realize something that you don't have a word for until you encounter it in another language.
You know, there's a word that really had an impact on it. It was the title of the book that I read. You know, I read, Shogun and, you know, a lot of stuff had Japanese in it. It was kind of interesting. They walk you through the language. You could, you know, kind of understand how it works a little bit. But it was a title of a book called Shibumi. Is that a familiar word to you, Shibumi? It meant peace of mind. Mm. And, you know, so when I first started my first business, and I named the corporation Shibumi, you know, because I was just you know, what else you could call? I mean, you know, it's just home, you know, it's my pursuit, you know? And what's your pursuit? Peace of mind.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, which is what? You know, the truth. You understand, you know, how things are, you know, you're living in reality, you're not under threat, you know, your kids are healthy, you know, I mean, Shibumi's a good word, I like that word, you know, I'm not sure how they would pronounce it, but, you know, it's S-H-U-M-B-I, I think, and, well, like they use phonetic alphabet, but anyway, so Shibumi was a word that really had an impact on me. So there's other words, too, and, of course, you know, the founding documents I went through. I'm not a fan of the Constitution. As I read that, it's just a tyrannical document, man. You know, Bill of Rights, it was kind of, you know, like a Band-Aid for that.
Exactly. Yeah. I guess that's good compared to the tyranny of the Constitution.
Yeah, so all this crap we just said, well, you can't do this, you know.
Yeah,
and,
right.
But the Declaration of Independence is such a...
Yeah.
Spiritual, uplifting, support of humanity document.
As I say, it's probably the only political document I have ever read that I could even consider getting behind.
It's not political. It's philosophical.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Because the only political thing that ever said in there, the only reason men would create a government is in pursuit
to protect
the individual rights. And then, you know, then, oh, well, what's that? And everybody wants to sit there and argue how many tyrants can dance on the head of a pin, you know. But it's I'm seeing the conversation that we've had. We're going to wrap it up here
and,
in 5 minutes.
Sorry, I should just point out also the other thing I love about it is it's a conspiracy theory document.
Hell yeah.
It's like, hey, there's this conspiracy that the king's out against us. Well, here's this train of abuses. Let me lay it out for you. It's like, yeah, I could have done that back in the 18th century.
I can go on and on and on. But, you know, this is what I'm feeling the resurrection of. I've been doing this. You've been doing it a long time. I've been doing it most of my adult life. And it's been, and I tell you what it was, James. Man, I'm going to tear up. It was faith in something. You know, Christ, God, goodness. We survive, we live and thrive in an ocean, a universe of goodness, of right, of physics, of laws, of it does this when you do that every freaking time. It may wave variables of something, you know, but it's going to happen. This is you add this to this, this is what the result is. That faith that you keep doing this to people, stuff's going to happen. That's my fear, is that they have to change people physically.
Yeah.
You know, they have to add a chemical. They got to change the DNA. They got to, and if they can, they are. And when they realize that they are, which has been, I just had Dr. Judy Mikovits on recently, Tuesday or no, into last week. And, you know, it's getting, I was asking her, you know, about all the stuff that we've done with the vaccines and all, she realizing how much of a scumbag Fauci is and how he can't remember anything anymore in Congress and, you know, whatever. I'm just going, what is the spiritual component that you're seeing to this resistance over the last few years? Where are we going now? And then the support behind, is it really Trump? I don't think it has really anything to do with freaking Trump. You know, I don't think Trump thinks it has anything to do with Trump. You know, it's not about that. And and there's different features. Patrick Byrne was going on about, you know, a lot of this, too. And then General Flynn and all the, there's just certain people that represent a faith in what's coming. Well, how's it going to happen? Oh, it's going to happen. And when you do this and you manifest your faith in such a way that you take certain actions, the universe just aligns with it. It just the bad guys start falling. You know, things come into line. You know, the one golf caddy tells, you know, the right congressman's aide the right thing about the right thing of some alternative media guy with the press and a whatever says something and everybody kind of whatever and somebody doesn't go sit in the back of the bus. I mean, it's always something. And it comes with faith that it's going to happen. And you can give it to divine providence or you can give it to whatever. But that's my prediction for 2024.
Yep.
It's coming.
I really do see the if not the cycle, at least the winding stair of history more and more as I get older, that, yeah, it's the same things that continue to happen to generation after generation, just, you know, slightly different.
That's why they call it a revolution.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why they call it a revolution. I love it. You want one world government? I give you one world revolution. Boom. Mm. Here we go.
This is it. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, you're a faith and happiness. I'm on board.
I feel so much better. I felt this is the best I've felt in a long time. You know, talking. I tell you what brought it on. You know, just circumstances. It's just faith. I mean, I just had, and it's really starting to come together. And your piece on how to be happy, and it was, and it wasn't. I mean, it was a great documentary that had all kinds of whatever. You know, it was just the. I don't know, the timing of you doing it, you know, and just having that conversation, it really sparked something. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for helping to spark my next editorial. So there you go.
Well, send it, you know, or, well, I wind up finding it on your thing anyway.
You'll see it.
I know. We always put it up. James Corbett, CorbettReport.com. We can go forward feeling a lot better. Therapy of James. Thanks. Peace, brother.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The USA News Update. One U.S. lawmaker is taking action in hopes others in Congress will agree on a call for the U.S. State Department to look into whether Israel's attacks in Gaza violate the law.
It says that if American military assistance is given to any country, it has got to be used consistent with international human rights standards and American law.
Senator Bernie Sanders announced on CNN State of the Union Sunday his intention to seek a resolution in Congress. It's been 100 days since the war began in Gaza. The percentage of Americans who smoke has continually declined since the release of a landmark report on health and smoking from the U.S. Surgeon General back in 1964. The rate of smoking among U.S. adults dropped from around 42% in 1965 to an all-time low of 11.5% in 2021. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Tehibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network. We had a great show tonight with Doug Casey, James Corbett, and now a little bonus, a little bit, the Gerald Celente, trendsjournal.com.
You know, I really analyzed Eisenhower's speech a couple times and done shows on it because I found it very powerful. And the thing that I got out of it, it wasn't so much that he was warning about the military-industrial complex as much that was a side effect of being ruled by a scientific technological elite. That it was the elite that just, that was a side effect. That was a money-making thing. That was the, you know, the process by which they get whatever the heck it is that they want. So that's my question. As we go in, I recently interviewed David Webb on The Great Taking. And that started, you know, once we did, I mean, that's been freaking going everywhere. In July of 08, I wrote an article that, oh, this is overlaps with you. It was the greatest depression, why we're so screwed, the coming greatest depression or something. Well, Gerald had the greatest depression, something he had to go, hey, man, that's my thing, you know. But anyway, so it was that article that in July of 08, I could see that all the IPOs, all the, it was in, at the end of it, it belongs to us. You know, things, when the Great Reset happens or everybody goes bankrupt, the stock securities, they weren't yours. They were, you know, the New York Stock Exchange or DTC or they, them, those. And it didn't come back to you. And I'm going, what the crap is this? But I didn't know how that happened or how to fix it or what. I'm just like, look, man, you need to get out. Get precious metals, get crypto, get something, because this is, when this all goes, it was kind of yours. It's like bank accounts. You know, it's like when you had your futures on gold with, what was it, MF Global or whatever. You know, it's rehypothecation. It was kind of your money. Now it's not, because we used it for grease bonds and it's gone and sucked me you. So when David Webb, you know, hedge fund manager, writes this book and he describes, he goes, look, it's already done. It's not yours. When this happens, it's gone. So I wanted you to comment on that and what you know about that from just an activist libertarian with a microphone, kind of a loudmouth guy, me. I'm just like, look, I think it's already done. They're not pretending. This great reset, you'll own nothing, and here's your happy shot, is already written down. You know, so
again, as I'm saying, forget about the great yes, it's already done. And I'm trying to say, when all else fails, they take you to war. It's not going to mean anything after a nuclear annihilation.
Yeah.
And I get a kick out of these people with big built bunkers. Oh, life will be wonderful after a nuclear wipeout. Again, go back, listen to JFK, his speech to graduating students at American University on June 1963. And then a couple of months later, he's killed. It's all about peace. And he says, basically, we should not hate the people in the Soviet Union. Again, this is the height of the Cold War, it's building up. He said, no one suffered more than they did during World War II. In Operation Barbarossa, over his words, over 20 million were killed. 20 million. They lost the farms, the factories, the homes, the land, the equivalent of Chicago to the East Coast. He goes on to warn them, the people, that if we go to war with Russia, or Soviet Union, they called it back then, life on Earth will be destroyed in 24 hours.
Hmm.
That was then. The nuclear weapons between now and then, no comparison. This is our greatest concern. So going back to the Great Reset, yes, the bigs have taken over everything. When we were young guys, once upon a time, there were things called grocery stores, hardware stores, stationery stores, drug stores, grocery stores. No more. Grocery chains, drug chains, hardware chains.
All in the same company building now.
Yep. And who owns them?
Walmart.
the venture capitalists. You have 1% of the people in this country own over 50% of the, about 54% of the stock market. You put the 10%, they own 90% of it. And they own all of these big firms. By the way, one of our top trends is migrant madness. And again, I just want to mention this. All the clowns out there that think America has such a great military, you haven't won a war since World War II, and you can't even stop people from coming in the country. So tell me who you're going to beat in a war. The migrant crisis. This is just the beginning. Because the economy's, again, I agree with that, the economy's over. It's finished. What is the United States, $34 trillion in debt? You're not going to pay back this money. What if everybody out there is listening, we were all, let's say we were all, when you took a $34 trillion, let's say we were all $1 million in debt. Could we keep going forward with our business? No. You're out of business. No, but the government can keep going? No. They're going to take us to war. So in going back to the whole scenario, what's going on? Yes, it's the end. The economy is going to crash, go back to the migrant crisis. This is all over the world. And the COVID made a bad situation worse. People are escaping. Lack of basic living standards, government corruption, crime, violence, and go back to our top trends for 2020. Before the COVID war began on January 2020, China in celebration of their Chinese Lunar New Year, they launched the COVID war. One of our top trends was New World Disorder. There were protests going on all over the world before the COVID. They were going on in India, the Yellow Vests in France, in Lebanon, in South Africa, in Chile, Bolivia, all over the world. People protesting again, lack of basic living standards, government corruption, crime. Then the COVID comes. Get back in your house! You can't go outside! And they stop the protests. So now you're seeing the wave of people coming out now. Their countries are finished. The emerging markets are submerged. So they're letting people in America, and I'm going back to, because in trend tracking, all things are connected. I talked about the chain zoning everything. Go into any of the big chain stores, anyone, and you'll see as you're walking in, help wanted. Everyone. Help wanted? Yeah, we're paying the people crap. This is Slavelandia. This is the new slave system. In the old days, you used to have to house and feed them. Now we give them just enough money to maybe house them, but to feed them, and then come back to work. They want the migrants to come in here so they can get more cheap labor. Got it? They did that when the Vietnam War. That little scumbag, LB Jerkoff, Lyndon Baines Jerkoff, Johnson. Yeah. He was the first one that did away with the tough immigration laws. I remember as a kid, little kid, hearing my parents, may they rest in peace, trying to get their cousin Constantino from Italy to come here. They couldn't get him here because the restrictions were so tight. Then they loosened them up. You know why they loosened up the Vietnam War? Because they're drafting everybody. They needed young men. Then go back again in my book, Trends 2000. Here it is. Boop. International bestseller. Another, that scumbag bastard, every time he got caught with his pants down, Bill Clinton. Bombs way over Baghdad, yeah, him. The H-1B visas. This is the beginning of the internet revolution. They didn't want to pay people high wages. We can get cheap labor from India. They know this stuff really good in China. Give them H-1B visas. They want all the cheap labor they can get. All we are plantation workers on the plantation of Slavelandia.
Okay, let's talk about not necessarily trends, but solutions to the trend. Is there one, or you're just looking at it? Doesn't matter. It's going to wind up being a.
There's only one way.
It's going to be a war and get over it.
There's only one way I see it happening. Once upon a time, there was a cat by the name of Samuel Adams. He says, does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men.
Yeah.
And we need that to happen.
Well, it's been happening. You know, I'm telling you, Gerald, I'm on the, you know, I'm activist.
But we haven't, excuse me, we haven't united them.
Okay,
that's what has to happen.
All right, let's talk about that a second. My expectation and my experience has been when you have a charismatic issue, not necessarily a person. You know, it's more MAGA than it is Trump. It's more the Lovolution than it was Ron Paul. It's more, whatever the issue is. And then you have leaders that kind of represent that or something like that. But it always comes from the people. It's general public opinion. And that's why they spend so much money, so much resources, so much attention, laws, mandates, gotta whatever for general public education. You know, they got to go generations of indoctrination with the kids and all the crap that they're doing. But the solution has always been the same. You know, it's what the founders were talking about. No entangling alliances, decentralization, the protection of individual rights down to the individual, the community, local. And whenever you start running into these kinds of problems, there's always the consolidation of power, the mandates from on high. You know, somebody's ruling you from over the horizon. What do I give a crap? Some war, some. They want to collectivize and unite us behind their opinion, as opposed to what the whole purpose of the country was to defend inside the border, you to be left alone from all enemies, foreign and domestic, to you being left alone. Well, the only way that we are going to be left alone is when we insist on it, which is why you have the First and Second Amendment. You know, I get to say what I want. When you say I can't, this Second Amendment here says I can, you know. So this is, but that all gets trumped when you got mushroom clouds everywhere. That all gets trumped when they want to, you know, distract you with, I got thermonuclear, this city got evaporated. And when Biden comes in and he says, yeah, blah, 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 I got F-16s. What are you going to do about it? This is their own mindset. Kamala Harris comes up, Camel 80 comes up and says, we know where you are. We know where you live. We're going to come at, and they are. But it always comes up against physical reality that, you know, your funny money doesn't matter anymore. I don't give a crap what you say over here. I'm more worried about putting calories and food in my mouth than I am paying attention to what you guys want. So the decentralization and the wealth of America's middle class, as much as there is left, that is what is a threat to them. Wealth and options is freedom.
Again,
option, let me go ahead and finish real quick, and I want you to comment. Yeah. The option of being able to survive them, the option, and that comes with wealth. So they have to come after the middle class. They have to lock down, shut down. You're not allowed. The shiny badge and clipboard guy comes in and closes your restaurant, your gym, your whatever. This, I'm thinking, is becoming obvious to at least a tireless minority of kiss my butt. And it's not about Trump. You know, we do the Trump Report, and my, you know, co-host on that, he's all over culture of Trump and kind of, you know, and it doesn't, that's just a side effect of something else. Is there a growing awareness in your trends research? Is there a rising up of an attitude and understanding of even a small minority that is tireless? That's, we are not going to be slaves. Will that have an impact? Or we got a freedom's phoenix from literally the ashes? Is it ashes a common?
As I said, the reason I was interrupting you is the question was, how could it change? We know that there's the IRA tireless minority. I said, it's not going to go anywhere unless it's united. United we stand, divided we fall. So you're doing what you're doing, I'm doing what I'm doing, Ron Paul. But we need to unite. You asked how we could change. And I'm saying to you, the only way I see it changing is with a united movement. And we need a third party. This crime syndicate has been in charge since that other bastard, Lincoln. You know, they went after Nikki Haley, who I can't stand. You know, I do a podcast with Judge Andrew Napolitano every Wednesday. And he did a whole thing about her. We both can't stand it. He calls Nikki Haley Lindsey Graham in high heels. A little warmonger. But Lincoln had nothing. It wasn't the slavery movement that got Lincoln going. He was pro-slavery. And Judge Napolitano goes on to say about the... you know, what they passed that thing.
God, which thing?
The law that they passed when Lincoln was in? It had nothing to do with anti-slavery. It meant that the troops could take the slaves and turn them into troops. But anyway.
Emancipation Proclamation? No.
Yeah.
Was that it?
Yeah, that was it. And he said that the government didn't become anti-slavery until 8 months after Lincoln was dead, they passed that law. But he's making the point, going back to what we're saying, is about how a crime syndicate is in charge and they're controlling everything. It was about unionization. It was about the federal government taking more control. That's what the Civil War was about. So the only way I see it happening is with a third party, again, which I'm saying we have not had since then. A strong third party, and it's a crime syndicate in charge. They're murderers and thieves. By their deeds you shall know them. So without a third party, I don't see this thing changing.
So are you saying we're going to vote ourselves free, or in a third party of influence in another realm, or all, or both, or we're waiting for Javier Milei to move to America? I mean, what are you saying?
We need somebody like a Ron Paul. You know,
we had someone, and the system said, hell no.
I know. Look, I'm very friendly with Ron Paul. Matter of fact, I'll be on his doing a broadcast next Wednesday with him. And I was the last person that I voted for. and I've spoken at his conferences, et cetera. We need somebody like that. And without that, I don't see it changing. And it's very difficult. I had supported, you know, I have peace rallies up here in Kingston. I own three of the most historic buildings in America. It's the only four corners with pre-Revolutionary War stone buildings. And I bought them because the seeds of democracy were sown here. Over 70% of America's Constitution comes from the Constitution written for New York State, when Kingston was the capital of New York State before the British burnt it down. So I have peace rallies here. I bought it for that. At the last one I had Dennis Kucinich here, former congressman, who ran for office twice as president, as a peace candidate. He was RFK Jr.'s campaign manager. I went down to, when RFK announced he was going on an independent party, they invited me down to Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. I went down there. I no longer support RFK Jr. And I made the most amount of donation that I possibly could, and I demanded it back. You know why? He's totally pro what Israel is doing, and actually made a comment to the effect that the Palestinians, this isn't the exact words, they're very spoiled because of all that they've gotten and they don't appreciate. And you don't have to believe me. Yeah, there you go. You have Norman Finkelstein, Max Blumenthal. Yeah, two Jewish guys ripping Kennedy apart and calling him, making fun of him. So that was the person that I wanted to see as a third party candidate, because I believed he was anti-war because he was against what we were doing in Ukraine. So we don't have anybody.
RFK coming in brought attention to some things and so on, but I didn't see. I'm glad. I don't know. It when he said he was going to go independent, I knew what that meant. That is wow. It's such a hurdle to get over, and I don't think he understood what he was going up against. That the Democratic Party would just eliminate any competition. We got Biden there, and we're going to do it.
Yep.
Do you think Biden is going to be the candidate?
You know, again, it's a guess. You know, he's out of his mind, but if we go to war, yes, he will. And again, when all else fails, they take you to war. And by the way, Kucinich is no longer RFK's campaign manager.
Really?
They got rid of him. You know who he brought in? His daughter-in-law that was formerly with the CIA.
Oh, man, you can't make this stuff up. You know, let's talk about Universal Church of Freedom, Peace, and Justice. I remember when you first started that, we talked about that on air when you first started that. And, you know, how's this going? Did you go 508 or did you do 501c? How are you structuring that you're able to do what you're doing?
Well, I don't know the details of it, but, you know, it's a church, you know, like all the rest of them, you know, it's one of those. And what we're doing is we're preaching freedom. I consider myself a warrior for the Prince of Peace. Again, I don't believe in I grew up Catholic. I don't believe anything the Catholic Church has to say. You know, it's a freak show to me. You know, how many more times they're coming up with how many priests abuse these kids, you know? I mean, the Catholic Church to me has nothing to do with Christ the same way the government has nothing to do with our founding fathers. So, but I believe in the Prince of Peace. And again, you know, people say to me, you know, watch your language, you get angry. I just want to get this straight, you know, get it in your head. Yeah, this is one of the covers of the Trends Journal going back to 2012.
Right.
All right? He became violent. He made a whip to drive the money changers out of the temple. So, and that's what's happened. That's the position we're in. But, you know, before we keep going on, too, I want to warn everybody, too, about with the economy. And we had forecast the office building bust when they locked down everything back over 3 years ago. Your office occupancy rate is around 20%. Excuse me, 50%, according to Castle Systems with a K. Your occupancy rate, 20%. That means 20% of the buildings are vacant. Nobody's in them. The
No, if the occupancy rate is 20%, 80% is vacant. Or do you think it's 80%?
No, 20%, 20% vacant.
Vacant. Okay, 20% vacant.
That's all. All right. Vacant. Your office occupancy rate, meaning people going to work, is 50%. So now we take all the businesses that lost the commuters, the shoe guys, the hairstylists, the delicatessens, the restaurants, the hotels, business travels, nothing what it used to be. Then we got to look at, okay, how are you going to pay your loan when you're losing tenants and you got all this debt coming up? Oh, and you got to renew your debt. You bought this stuff when interest rates were down near the toilet, and now they're, you know, you're looking at, 5.5%. How are you going to pay your loan off? You're not. You're going to see banks go bust. You think Silicon Valley, First Republic, that was nothing. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing.
All right.
And the small and medium-sized banks are going to take a big hit. Important. When the banks go down, then the people wake up of how bad it is. When the markets crash, then the people realize how bad it is. When everything looks good at the top, the people feel okay. But the fish rots from the head down. And when the fish starts rotting, that's why we're saying gold this year. We don't give financial advice. The motto of the Trends Journal is think for yourself. This is what's being reported. This is our analysis. This is our forecast. We see this the year of a golden year for gold because they're going to lower interest rates. The lower interest rates go, the cheaper the dollar gets. The cheaper the dollar gets, the higher gold gets. And you have the banking crisis on top of that. And you have World War III heating up, people looking for the number one safe haven asset. So the two safe haven assets we see, the three, gold number one, Bitcoin number two, and silver number three. And we say Bitcoin we see stay, you talking about Argentina before, you brought that guy up. The people in Argentina, he devalued the currency by 50%. They're buying Bitcoin like crazy because they could buy a little bit at a time, and that's what they're doing in a lot of these.
Well, he legalized it. You can pay debts in Bitcoin. I'm going, ooh, here we go.
So then the people are buying. So if Bitcoin wasn't there now, you would see gold prices around $4,000 an ounce. So it's driving a lot of it away.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.